Good morning, everybody. Well, I was reading a bit in Romans this morning. I just want to turn to Romans 7. I can probably actually start back at 6, but might go to Romans 7 instead. But, you know, when we first come to the Lord, it's an interesting thing. You know, it's called, you know, I heard people call it the Christian bubble. And no matter what's going on around you, no matter what's happening, you get this joy in you. You know, and nothing doubting. It's like, man, you read the Word, you take it for what it says, and you believe it. You just believe it. It's just no doubt in your mind. You see it for what it is. And you believe it. No problem at all. But what starts to happen is this old man, this old flesh of yours starts to kind of come up. Starts feeding you lies. Starts giving you things that are not true. And yet you start to have these doubts that come upon. And then we start to recognize, you know what? This is a battle. Oh my goodness, this is a battle. But I want to talk about that battle a little bit. And how the flesh is the flesh. It's always going to be the flesh. It's always going to be at enmity against God. It's always going to be wanting to doubt God's word. That's its nature. But Jesus Christ has set us free from that nature. Amen? Well, we don't have to listen to that anymore. And a lot of times what we try to do is we try to go around and we try to pretty up the flesh. Try to make the flesh line up with God's word. Try to make the flesh believe God's word. Try to make the flesh righteous. And it can't be. It never will be. It'll never be in league with God's word. But the freedom that Jesus has set us free from is that we don't have to listen to it anymore. Amen? The not scriptures say, and really in Romans 8, it says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Can't do it. So instead of trying to pretty up that thing or doing whatever, let's just put it to death like it's supposed to be. Amen. And I'm going to just start in Romans because I want to start to talk about this battle a little bit. I came out of there. Hope that didn't go online. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. It's pretty clear, isn't it? In the same manner we're born, and when we're born, man, we're born cut off from the Spirit. We're born bound to the flesh. That's our natural state. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who raised even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. See, but what Jesus Christ has done is he destroyed the enmity of that flesh. of the law. We don't have to listen to that thing anymore. We're freed from that. We're to be walking in the Spirit and the new man that He gave us. You know, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Father washes you with the blood of Jesus Christ and covers you and reconnects that soul back to that Spirit again. Then we still got that old carnal nasty flesh over here. But we're to be dead to that thing. It's still old carnal nasty flesh. And when I wake up, that thing staring at me first thing in the morning, I got to put that thing down. Ought to be living unto God. Not the flesh. And the flesh is so deceitful in so many ways to get your soul in league with it. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. Paul's talking about, he said, man, you know, I mean, he didn't recognize, it's basically not recognizing that you're a sinner until you see the law. You see that law, then you see your trespasses, transgressions. You're going, oh man, I'm in need of a Savior. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taken occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be death unto me. He starts to see that the law was bringing out his sin in him. Found to be death unto him, he says. Oh my gosh, what do I do about this? For the sin taken occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid! But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. You know, it's an interesting thing. I was hearing, I think it was Scotty last week, where he was confessing that he was a covetous man. And he's seen that he was a covetous man because one of the questions is when he has some project that the Lord has him to do, he doesn't go, how are we going to get it done? That's more my thing. I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't know what I'm doing. How am I going to get that done? But he goes, man, how am I going to pay for that? But then he recognizes and he sees that what it appears to him is that he sees that in front of him, that he's a covetous man, and that he needs to lay that covetousness down, and that he can be free from that covetous nature that he has. So it's a good thing that he's sitting here and he can see for what it is so he can get shed of that thing. And that's what Paul's talking about right here. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, and consent unto the law that it is good. He's seeing that the law is good. It's showing him as a carnal man, a sinner, and a sinful nature. It's revealing this all to him. It's that light being shined in a dark place. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now, have anybody have gone through this? I have. Felt like taking my head and beating it up against the wall. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. And oh my gosh, when that nasty old flesh, carnal mind of mine gets rooted in his way, man, that's just evident before me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Has that old carnal man right there. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And what he's stating here is that old nasty carnal man is always going to be that old and nasty carnal man. And don't try to fix it. Don't try to dress it up. Don't try to make it something that it's not. But the freedom of Jesus Christ here is that I don't have to listen to that thing anymore. I can reckon that thing dead. I can, with my mind, serve Jesus Christ. I can choose Him, His life, abundantly. And I'm not wrapped in the snare of that death anymore. But free. Not by what I've done or what I could do. That's that old nasty flesh again. But by the blood of Jesus Christ and what He has done. And that He fulfilled it all. And that I am free from that. And He has broken that veil, ripped that veil between us, that we may intake and partake of His Spirit, of His love, of that true vine that brings forth fruit. Brings forth life. Brings forth freedom. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Which one are you going to follow after? Don't get snared into the deceitful lusts of trying to pretty up this flesh, make this flesh right. Never be. But stand on the grace of God who is right. On Jesus Christ who did complete it. Amen. And be free in Him. You know, back in 6, in Romans 6, I'm going to go to 12 real quick. It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield your servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? So the Lord has given us everything we need to walk in Him. Which one are we going to obey? Are we going to obey that sinful nature that's in league with the enemy, that wants to kill, steal, and destroy, take you down, drag you down to hell with it? Or are we going to obey Jesus Christ and walk in that freedom, that grace, that love that He has for you? The choice comes down to us. You know, I remember we had an hour of truth probably about a year ago. And one of the things was, I remember years ago, Ricky saying, you are not your flesh. And I remember Robin kind of taking a point on that. And she goes, yes, you are not your flesh if you're believing the gospel and walking in Him. Because when you listen to that flesh and when you're in league with that flesh, your soul is, you're joining yourself to that old dead man again. Don't do it. Get free from it. And if you've been doing it all week, or if you've done it in the past months, if you've done it for the past years, now's the time you can choose to walk differently. Get on your knees, repent before the Lord. What reminds me is Psalm 51. And if your heart's not right and all these things are not in you, which it simply says that it's not, then go to the Lord. Lord, Father, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Get honest with Him. Meet you there. Lord, my motives ain't right. My attitude hasn't been right. My doings have not been right. Help me. Lord, please forgive me. Purge me with that hyssop. Wash me with your word. I want to be shed from this old man. And I didn't get in this place by anybody else but my own self, Lord. Forgive me. Set me free. So I may serve you. He'll answer that one. So let's get honest with ourselves. Let's recognize the battle. And where it starts. Square in our hearts. Where we make the choice of what we really want to do. Amen.
You know, I don't know if you read this far down in 6. Go to 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. It's about who you choose to have rule over you. And because Jesus did what He did, He died and rose again. We're not under bondage where we have no choice. The last thing he hit on was about what it's about our choice. We are able to make a choice now. And yeah, he did. We read down to 14, so he read down to 16. The rulership of the flesh is something you yield yourself to. Not necessary. It's fact. It's the default setting. You know, that's why Paul tells Timothy to be strong in the grace as in Christ Jesus. Because it's going to be hard to stand if you're not. You know, the whole point of Romans 6 is you go into baptism, you come out, you went in dead, you left that thing, that carcass there, and you came back out, risen unto Jesus Christ. Jesus took your sin in your place on the cross and gave you the opportunity, set you free to choose to yield yourself to righteousness and the Lord. And to serve Him, to choose to serve Him. Where do I want to go here? I was looking at all kinds of things at John 1 and John chapter 1 and Colossians. I think I want to concentrate on the choice thing. If ye then be risen with Christ, chapter 3, Colossians, verse 1. Seek those things which are above. Now let's hold up here for just a second. You go into John 15:5 and says, without me you can do nothing. It's not only unprofitable, but it'll wear you out. It wastes time trying to put lipstick on that pig. That flesh ain't nothing you can do for it. It's going to make it pleasing to God. It's never going to agree with God's word. It's always going to feed unbelief. And the end of Romans chapter 6 is the wages of sin is death. So you choose to treat it dead. Treat it as if it's dead right now. And yield yourself to serve the Lord. Then you're able to make this choice in Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Well, which things are above? You go look in the mirror, and everything that you see in the mirror is not above. Not all that hard. I just thought I'd simplify it for you. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's something you choose to do. You either choose to do that in obedience. If you're busy seeking the things that are above, you ain't got a whole lot of time to be concerned about what sort of travail's going on around here. Yes. You set your affections on things that are above and not on the earth. That means simply choosing to love the things that the Lord loves. Choose to love to see people. Choose Him over the flesh. To choose Him and His kingdom over the world. There's a lot of stuff coming against you here in the natural, in this world. And the lord of this world's Satan. If the world loves you, that's not a real good testimony of where you're standing. If the world's at enmity with you and trying to kill you, that's more of a testimony. Of course, it is possible you're such a jerk that the world can't stand you. I mean, but for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You died with him up there on the cross. If you're in him, then your life is hid with him in God. That's how that works. That is our hope. And if you're going to come against unbelief, that's a good verse to come against with. I choose to believe this. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You know, the members, the carnal sin nature that our flesh operates in is so easily. It's basic thing is unbelief, and it is, I am God. I'm your Lord. I'm your ruler. It is idolatry. It is, you know, the first commandment is violated every day when you choose to serve the flesh. Yield yourself to the flesh. I am Lord thy God. I am a jealous God. Thou shalt have none other God before me. I screwed up the order of that, those words. But that's the basic thrust of the first commandment. I'm a jealous God. I won't put up with this. That's what idolatry is. It's choosing, yielding yourself to serve and please yourself. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And that's scary. But it is so opposite of the joy and the love, the spirit of fellowship and communion that you get out of setting your affections on things that are above. You get around a couple of people that are doing that, it's so apparent that they're different, and their concerns are not what other people's concerns are. But on the other hand, they're not wringing their hands about their ability to keep this rule, a set of rules, either. Because they're actually able to operate in the Spirit, walking after the Spirit, living like they're in Jesus' kingdom. And that's so diametrically opposed to the verse 6, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. You don't have to live there anymore. And if you did, the first thing he said in the first couple of verses of chapter 3, you're not there anymore. In the which time you also walked, past tense, when you lived in them. But now ye put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. If you don't yield yourself to the flesh anymore, then you're not doing the things it wants to do. You've mortified the deeds of the flesh. You've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. You put on Jesus. You covered yourself in his righteousness. Then you go back to Matthew 5 and you see how it operates. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That opens you up and you can receive, and he can just keep pouring himself in until it starts overflowing. Then you give it to other people. It's good stuff. And it is life. And it's your opportunity, by choosing to yield yourself to that, you actually have an opportunity to please God. You didn't stand a chance before. And that's such a praiseworthy accomplishment that he did in you. You didn't do it. Let's see, where was I? Renewed in the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you came from. He's not a respecter of persons or backgrounds. You get on your knees and yield yourself unto him, and he'll take it. He'll cover you with his righteousness and set you free from the bondage to sin and death. That is the work he accomplished on the cross for you, if you will receive it. Stop being hard-headed. Stop being bullheaded. Stop being an idolater. And yield yourself. Yield yourself again. If you've done it before and you haven't done it in so long you forget how, just get on your knees and say, Lord, help me. I've gone astray. That guy's son, when he decided, that my father's servants eat better than I'm eating, I'm eating the pig's food here. And he went back to him. He didn't stand there with a switchblade and keep him from coming to his table, did he? He killed a fatted calf and had a feast. Man, turn your life over to the Lord and let's kill the fatted calf and let's have a feast every day, man. I'm done.